KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to MASC's weekly radio show on Family Matters. MASC, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, Saving Kids, Kids of All Ages, All Stages. People on the street stop me and say, isn't MASC just about drugs and alcohol and gambling? And the answer is no. We are a mental health agency for referrals for all mental health issues, whether it's drugs, alcohol, gambling, internet addiction, eating disorders, bipolar, schizophrenia, any trauma, any issues that you may need a referral for your loved one, yourself, your friend, please call MASC's confidential number at 718-758-0400. Again, please, maybe you want to write it down. Maybe it's for yourself, a loved one, a spouse, maybe a neighbor or someone you sit next to in shul. Our number, confidential helpline, is 718-758-0400. We do programs in the local yeshivas, community awareness programs, and if you know somebody that would benefit from a naloxone training, a free kit for opiate overdose prevention, please call our helpline and we can get you in your home delivered a free kit with free training on how to administer the naloxone. So call us if you may know someone that would benefit from it. It's always good to have one in case you know someone that's doing opiates. And tonight, we have with us an amazing Dr. Sarah Gluck. I want to welcome you. She is from the Five Towns. She has a practice there. She's been in this field since 2007, and she's a wonderful clinician. I want to welcome you, Dr. Sarah Gluck. Good evening. Thank you for being on tonight.
Thank you, Rahama, for that intro and for all the wonderful work that you and the whole MASC organization does for our community. I know some of my clients have found your organization extremely helpful. So I just want to thank you for all the work that you do.
Thank you. So again, it's not, like you said, it's not only Rahama, but it's my whole staff. And everyone, all the therapists that help in every case, we handle as an individual. So thank you for that, and thank my staff publicly. So, Dr. Gluck, we have an exciting show tonight. Exciting because we are talking about something that's so out there, but I don't mean exciting in a good way, because technology addiction and the development of the brain when addicted to technology is like in the front of everyone's mind right now. It's like every meeting I go to, that comes up, the addiction to technology, whether it's my colleagues that are bringing it up about themselves and how we're always looking at our phones, about different emails coming in and people thinking we need to respond immediately, or talking about students. We speak in schools, to so many staff members in our programs, and they're all complaining about the talk about technology and everything that these kids are now addicted to and open to. So I really want to talk to you about what exactly is technology addiction and how does it affect the developing brain, please?
Sure. The thing is that it's something we can no longer ignore. For a while there, we thought we could control children's access to internet. To some extent, we can. However, in 2018, our children, our students, our clients will have access to the internet. It's unavoidable at this moment in time. Even if we don't hand it to them, they can get it anywhere. So it's something that adults need to grapple with in an entire new way, especially given that this generation of adults, I don't want to age myself, but I guess I will a little bit. We haven't necessarily grown up with the internet in the palm of our hands. And yet we're expected to guide and raise children who are growing up with it. And half the time we don't know what we're doing. We may look at children holding a device. We don't know what they're looking at and how hooked they are on what they're looking at on their screens. So part of what I'd like to do is make us as parents, as professionals, as adults, a little more educated about what's going on with the children in our lives. Technology addiction. Let's define addiction for a minute. I find that when we don't understand something, what we like to do is label it. So we see kids hooked on their device, we want to say they're addicted. But it's really important to not overdiagnose addiction. Because if we just say everyone's addicted, then we're not actually learning to deal with the nuances of what's happening. So to define addiction, addiction occurs when people are dependent on a substance. Addiction means I can't live without this substance. When I don't have it, I go into withdrawal, and I keep needing more than I used to need in order to achieve the same effect. It should be noted that there is no formal diagnosis in the DSM, which is that big book that therapists use to give people labels and, you know, define what's going on with people. There's no formal diagnosis for technology addiction yet. But if we want to define addiction, those are the three criteria we would use. Dependence on the substance, needing more in order to achieve the same effect, and going into withdrawal when we don't have it.
And Dr. Gluck, this is a real thing because we get phone calls on our helpline every day about kids that are not going to school. They're staying in their room for many hours, playing Fortnite. They're on. I'd like you to talk about that as well and what happens to these young children and their brains when they're exposed to so many hours of internet gaming.
Okay, wow. You're going right in for Fortnite.
Well, yeah, I can't help it, but we're on the helpline, and this is what we hear about kids coming home, that they don't feel well early in school, kids not wanting to go to school in the morning, parents finding kids up in the middle of the night playing it for hours, kids mm-hmm. not wanting to do their homework because they need to be on Fortnite. This is a real thing.
Yeah, so let's talk about Fortnite for a minute. Fortnite is the single most addictive popular game in the world right now with over 80 million players. If you sit and look at a Fortnite screen, what it is, it's a game that's a killing game. Murder is encouraged in this game. People develop a little avatar, which is someone who represents themselves on the screen, and the avatar needs to go around a world full of traps, barriers, and other people and kill. Now, why is it so addictive? With over 80 million players, and one child in China being hospitalized for not being able to get off of Fortnite for long enough to eat or go to the bathroom. Why is it so addictive? One of the main features of Fortnite that differentiates it from other video games is that you can play with groups of people. So when a child goes to school, he may develop a Fortnite team with his friends at recess time and go home and be rushing to get onto his device so he can play Fortnite with his friends. That is something that's very, very hard for parents to control because they feel like they're interfering with their child's social life. And plus, everyone else is doing it. Fortnite is built to be addictive. That is how the developers developed the game. And they developed it kind of like gambling. So there's a skill aspect and a luck aspect. And that keeps people hooked. Biochemically, what it does is when children are playing any video game with that element of suspense, dopamine gets released in their system. Dopamine is the pleasure hormone in the brain. It's the same hormone that gets released when you eat chocolate or do exercise or anything that feels pleasurable. When people play video games, there's a dopamine rush through their entire system and the adrenaline rush, and that hooks them. What that does is it stops their brain from being able to get that same pleasure feeling from normal things they should be enjoying. Because that dopamine rush from the game is so intense, regular things that make kids happy, like getting a donut for a snack, that doesn't hit their dopamine receptors anymore. You know, or playing a fun game at recess, winning at basketball, those receptors get deadened over time. Until the video game is the only thing that can stimulate them enough to actually feel that pleasure. Does that answer your question?
Yes. So what could parents do then? I mean, this is real. You know, this is going on with regular yeshiva kids. Parents are struggling. And like you said, this is something that's socialization for them in school. They speak about it. And then they come home and you can't get them off. You know, what are the options for parents?
Okay, so I do have some tips for parents, but also before we go into tips for parents, can we broaden the scope of the problem? In case there are parents who are listening whose children are not addicted to Fortnite, stay on the show because your kid may be addicted to WhatsApp or Snapchat.
Yes.
Or be hooked,
yes.
Rather.
Yeah,
or Instagram.
I was going to get to that right after.
Go ahead.
Yep.
The scope of what children can be hooked on their phones is so intense. If you've ever seen children on a WhatsApp chat after school, they may be going back and forth with their friends, and they may even want to put their phones down, but the phone keeps dinging. And what happens is there's this phenomenon called FOMO, fear of missing out. It's real. Kids and adults were afraid that if we don't check the next message, we'll miss something important. And it keeps us attached to our phones and to our devices to the point where we may not sleep enough, not be able to focus, not be able to do our work or our schoolwork, have anxiety when our phone or device isn't near us, and even overeat because we're not conscious of what we're putting in our body at the time. So what do we do about all of this in ourselves and our children, right? Should we get back to that question or
yep.
Keep on? Go ahead. Okay. Here's the first tip for parents. Know that your child's device does not need to be private. As parents, sometimes we give our kids something, like we give them a toy and we think, okay, now it's their toy. It belongs to them. I can't use it or take it back or tell them they can't have it. With a phone, an iPad, a computer, a tablet, it's completely different. We don't want our children to get the idea that the device belongs to them and it's private because those devices are connected to the internet and anything that goes online is truly not private in any sort of real way. So my kids, when I gave them devices, I have children, teenagers, I had them sign a contract saying I can check their phones, their iPods at any time. And they say, Mom, that's so creepy. Why are you checking my phone? Why are you checking my iPod? And I sit and have a conversation with them. And here's how it goes. When you type something into your phone, it goes over the internet onto somebody else's phone. or their computer. What that means is anyone else can look at it on the other side. Their parent might be reading it. They might screenshot it and send it across the world to somebody else. It might go online with your name tagged. Your principal might see it. So anything you write into your device, imagine that going out in public. So your first tip is monitor your child's device and make sure they are aware that you'll be monitoring it and that it's not private. Some other things you can do is communicate with your child about what the expectations are. How many hours per day are they allowed to be on their device? What apps are they allowed to download on their device? What does it look like if they violate one of the agreements that you and your child came up with? What happens then? Does their phone get taken away for an hour? Do additional restrictions get put on? Right? So having a conversation with your child about this as you're giving them the device. Some people may say, what do? I'm listening to your talk now, which is great, but my child's had a phone for 2 years. And they're on it all day, every day. You know what? It's never too late to go back and have that conversation with your child. You have more power as a parent than you think. Most likely, you're paying the phone bill. And it's important to not be afraid of your child. Of course they're going to put up a fight when you try to put restrictions on their device. That's natural. That's their job as a child, is to try to put up a fight. But your job as a parent is to use that as a teachable moment, to not get upset, not get reactive, but to say, okay, you're getting very anxious and upset when we talk about me taking away some of your phone time. Tell me what that's about. Okay, you see, that's the problem we have here with your phone, is that you're so hooked on it. So let's work together and come up with a plan that can work for both of us. Communicate. Anything I can add to that, Muhammad? Any questions?
Yes. Actually, I was at the Gooda convention. We had a mental health track just this Thursday night. And while I was sitting there on the coffee break, I was speaking to a colleague. And we were a few people standing together. And his wife called to say that she didn't hear from her son. And he said, don't worry, I'll check where he's at. And right in front of me, he checked the phone, and he has a tracking system where he could see where his wonderful son, not a teen at risk, where he is. He was able to identify immediately, and he was able to reach out to him. So he knew that he was in a friend's home. He knew where he was. The tracking is excellent, and these are just, you know, that's one example of what can be done in order to, for the safety of one's child. There are different programs available, and if anyone is interested in hearing about the programs, feel free to call the Mask Helpline, and we are at 718-758-0400, and you can call with any questions that you may have in reference to these programs that are available, or any referral. We have with us Dr. Sarah Gluck, and we are talking about technology addiction and the developing brain. So, Dr. Gluck, let's talk about the developing brain. I really want to, you know, focus on that. From when a child is very young and, you know, you go on the internet, you go on the computer today and everything, even if you go on a, you know, Yeshiva World or any of those websites, everything is moving so fast in so many different directions. You have ads, you have information, you have news. So much is going on, so many colors, so many things moving. I mean, that has to have an effect on all of us, being on the internet, looking at this all day long.
Yes, definitely. So here's what happens, and we're looking for our child to develop in terms of their brain function. When children are born, they have the unconscious ability to breathe, to regulate the temperature in their body, And then they learn how to speak using the speech functions in their brain. And by adolescence, they have some more abilities toward rational thinking. But mostly they still use their amygdala, which is the emotional center of their brain, in order to make decisions. Then by adulthood, between the ages of 18 to 25, the prefrontal cortex starts looking more comprehensively complete. The prefrontal cortex is a part of the brain that's responsible for executive functions and making good decisions. The ability, essentially, in simple words, to weigh the pros and cons of what you're about to do and decide whether that's a good idea. Now, we're giving kids devices at which they can they can do things that are very damaging in a split second, right? They can post things that they'll never be able to take back. And I see this all the time. Kids just, without thinking, in the moment, they react from the amygdala, the emotional center of their brain, and they post something that then gets them suspended from school or hurts somebody else's feelings, even on a more basic level. Our job is to lend them our prefrontal cortex, lend them our ability to think and our executive functions, and teach them how to weigh the pros and cons before they do something. So while technology can be harmful in terms of the effect that it can have on children who have not yet learned to make those decisions and can really hurt themselves and their futures, it can also be an opportunity. When your child's holding their phone, that's a chance for you to teach them how to tap into their executive function skills. And one thing I want to encourage parents about, so I'm not just sitting here and scaring you, is to use the devices your child has in order to teach them. You may have a phone, and you can model appropriate behavior to your child. So I have the kids I see do best with technology are the kids whose parents are not hooked. As a parent, it's your job to be able to put your phone down, to say, you know what, family dinner time, no phones. If you're saying that and you want your child to put their phone away, do not check your phone. It doesn't matter if it's work or some urgent email you need to answer. The best way to immunize and, I guess, vaccinate your child, so to speak, against addiction is to not be addicted and to show them that you can put it down. Additionally, you can help your child learn how to make good decisions. So you may sit and look at your phone and say, should I post this picture? And have a family conversation about it. We have a picture of our family trip. If I post this on a family WhatsApp group or I send it onto social media, is there anyone whose feelings might get hurt? Let's all talk about this as a group. And have your kids weigh in with you. Oh, I know that's a cute picture, but I don't really like the way I look in that picture. So you say, okay, then you know what? I'm just not going to post it because that might hurt your feelings. So show your child that you can use restraint. And that's a way to help them learn how to develop those parts of their brain right along with the time period when they're learning how to make decisions in terms of their development.
You know, you bring up family dinners. Mask mm-hmm. has an ad campaign out there that actually says family dinners matter. And I should add to it the hashtag about, what is it called, Dark for Dinner. Hashtag dark for dinner. I need to add that. Thank you for bringing that up. Because so many people, they come in to the house holding their phone, talking on the phone, not making eye contact. I listen to people in group, parent groups. They talk about them going out with their husband or wives, and they're always on the phone. You know, the phones go on the table, even on date night and dinner, and it's really become an issue. And we need to really learn respect about the other person and their feelings about what they feel like if a person is sitting at the table with their cell phone constantly checking it. So that's also something that you said we shouldn't label it as addiction, but it's sort of habitual where people are so attached to their telephones all through dinners, weddings. Nobody leaves anywhere without their phone. And that's a message we're giving children also, I would imagine.
Yes, and I love what you just said about checking in with your kids about their feelings, right? Because those are all conversations we can have that create an impact and that help our children learn how we think and help them develop those ideas on their own. So when you are going dark for dinner, which means everyone's putting their devices down, and by the way, that decreases your child's risk for using alcohol and marijuana as an adult and tobacco. So family dinner studies have shown is actually effective in preventing those at-risk behaviors. And when you're dark for dinner, I love that idea of checking with your kids and say, how do you feel when mom's on my phone, like when I'm on my phone? You know, it's a brave move for a parent to ask for feedback like that. And if you see your child reacting, rolling their eyes, trying to get your attention while you're on your device, stop. Put it down and say, you're right. I'm sorry. I was looking at that email, but you're much more important to me. Tell me again. You're right. I wasn't really listening. Tell me what you need. Make eye contact with your child. Show them you're okay admitting your mistake. Mahama, earlier you had mentioned apps and things that parents can use to monitor their child's device.
Yes.
I want to recommend one app right now to your listeners, which is Our Pact. OurPact. That's an app that a parent can have on their phone, and the child has a matching one on the child's phone. You can use it to help your child set a schedule for when and how they use their device. You can also use it to track where they are. And it's an app that helps you have these conversations with your child.
I know that there's somebody that I know actually has a basket, and they put in, you know, all the phones into that basket when they come into the house. It's on the kitchen counter. And it's interesting, there was a clip going around about kids going to visit the grandparents. And actually, in the clip, it shows there was a basket, actually, of when everybody comes over, you have to put your phone into the basket because of family time. That's an amazing idea. I hope, you know, that's something to consider, that we should focus on encouraging more family time without holding on to our phones when, you know, family gets together. Sarah, there's so much more we can talk about on this topic. We're running out of time. I would love to have you on again to continue the conversation. Meanwhile, I want to say thank you. Again, we have Sarah Schwartz-Gluck, Clinical Director, Five Towns Wellness Center, and in private practice. Also, Sarah's in private practice in Midtown Manhattan. Thank you again, Sarah, for being on tonight.
Thank you so much, Rahama, for this opportunity. It's been great talking with you. And again, I want to thank MASC for the wonderful work that you do for our entire community. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And again, if you need a referral or you want to make an appointment with Sarah Schwartz-Gluck, feel free to call our anonymous helpline, 718-758-0400, or go on to MASC's website to hear all our previous shows, maskparents.org, and you can be our partner and donate. Have a good evening and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you and good night.
TCN, Talkline Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.